back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
David Slack, good morning to you. You've got a cold, you've got a scarf around your neck. How very autumnal law slash winter of you?
You just broke my heart when you said it's going to be like this till next March.
No, it won't be. It won't be. It'll be summer in between then and now.
I'm fully awe here. I can't get out of this.
You love it.
Joe Guy's giving me a lovely cup of coffee. Maybe that'll help.
Good on you, Joe Guy.
Play another song. I might cheer up.
Do you want another song? Okay, we can't. So play the intro now.
It's your show, bro.
We play the intro now. And so, but what I will get is, Joe Guy, you do have this particular thing we want to play this morning.
There's a head on it, and I absolutely reject any suggestion that the National Party have not been able to...
It's Trevor Mallard, Speaker of the House.
...a number of questions over this Parliament than they would have been otherwise. That's just not true.
We're speaking to the point of order.
No, there's no point of order. If the member wants a further supplementary, she can take it. If not, we'll move on.
I'm leaving. What a waste.
For how long? Thank you.
Was there a harden up? Someone yelled out there at the back.
Petulant Paula.
Paula Bennett, National Party MP, opposition MP there, trying to get across those questions, that massive pile of questions. Have they finished those, or is this more questions?
I loved what my friend Finlay McDonald said about it. She said, "All my friends have nice speakers. You're the worst speaker in the world ever."
When he was announced the speaker, I thought this is going to be fun. Mm. Here's someone who's one of the smartest lips in the house up till now, sort of thing. And was he out of line there? Was he doing his job properly?
No.
Was he just picking on them because they're the opposition and he's Labour throwing through?
Speaker has a lot of latitude. You can do a lot of styling, if you like. It's the same song every speaker, but they can all style it in their own way, Mikey. So, the standing orders mean there are certain ways you can interpret these things.
I remember interviewing Jonathan Hunt, who's like he's like a human pudding with glasses on. And he was a very different speaker again.
Oh, he was, very fastidious and quite pompous.
And I managed to get some sort of cushy London residency or something.
Yeah.
Hey,
they love him in the Labour Party, and I could never understand why.
Because he's easy. The job itself, Speaker. How does that happen? For those people that may have missed it when it was announced when Trevor Mallard was
you're the chairperson.
Is it
of
a hospital? Is it a hospital?
You're the
pass?
Chairperson of the meeting. Oh, not necessarily. And various people and Trevor is Mallard is one of them. They just really dig the whole standing orders, leader of the house stuff. And they're actually happy to do all of that, and he's into it. So David Carter didn't really want to do it, and he sort of made that clear every afternoon.
Yeah. So you have to be impartial, don't you? It's the job.
You do. But again, if anybody's had an experience of any sort of meeting where there's a chairperson, some of them are really good at it and some of them are a bit shite, and some of them have bias and some of them don't even know they have bias. But actually, I think in this case, she's being petulant and her objection is groundless. They're getting plenty of latitude. Let's also not forget the Greens are giving them theirs, which gives them a little bit more oxygen. It would be quite wrong to say that they don't get a good crack here. But let's also remember that the whole system of question time is a little bit farcical.
Old school, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And this is the impression a lot of people take away from their parliament. They see this part going on and they say, they all act like kids and they're braying.
That's the bit I went to and it really bummed me out when I was younger. A friend and I went down, I've told the story a million times on the radio, but we went down there, was really excited, let's go to parliament.
Mm.
Went there and just walked away just so...
Yeah, disillusioned.
Like our dreams have been smashed. It was like, not that we had lofty ideals or sort of a great aspiration for what we thought we might see there, but we thought we'd see better than the crap that we did see.
But what you were really seeing is the equivalent of the what your toddlers are like just half an hour before meal.
Yeah, but that's not what we expected to see at the nation's capital.
What you can see, what's a whole lot better and what actually everybody should think about taking part in at some point is the select committee hearings, because that's where the legislation gets reviewed, also where various bodies have to come and account for themselves, say what they've been doing for the last year. And
swear on the Bible.
All of that. And that's done in a constructive adult fashion. And, people ask questions in order. And if you have some aspect of life in New Zealand that's really getting you down, get in there. And because there are many select committee hearings where you can simply say, I want to give have my say, and you can go and have your 10 minutes.
I want to find out this information. So as a result of that yesterday, as a result of Paula saying, I'm out of here. This party sucks.
I'm going to my room. Slam.
call me when the cool people turn up. I believe, according to her, Paula listens to the show. So, Paula, maybe, so keep listening. But now the National Party have gone to quite an absurd extreme, it would seem. Or am I just, have I missed something? Jerry Brownlee, Jerry the Juggernaut. Jerry Brownlee, Who is, I mean, is he sort of the...
I'm puzzled that he's hanging around, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. But is he, I'm just wondering, is he the... Like, yeah, you go staunch him out, Jerry. Is he the...
He is the intimidator.
He
is the kind of guy who can take a relatively innocuous exchange and turn it into some kind of fronting, you know. And I have... had a couple of interview experiences with him where I think, oh, you're not that bad. You can actually say something interesting. But there seems to be some kind of defense mechanism in him that just goes on at the slightest trigger. If he thinks his integrity is being impugned or if he's being faulted in any way, he just takes the greatest exception. And I don't know if it's theatre or not, but it's certainly not constructive. And whether he likes it or not, there are a lot of people who look at what happened in the recovery over the 5 years or so. Where are we now? 6 or so years, and say, you guys could have done this way better. And he will say, oh no, we did as well as we could. And people say, look, objectively, you didn't. Your EQC was a complete stuff up, for example.
So you think they treat a little bit more carefully in situations like this? But what he's done is. What the National Party have done, so yeah, I assume with the leadership's stamp of approval, is basically say, oh well, anyway, about those things. What about that thing last week?
Oh yes,
where Trevor Mallard said the Speaker of the House suggested that somebody said stupid little girl in the background, and it had to be either you, and everybody's staying in class until we find out who it is. Which I always think back to that, and I end up always admitting it when it was me in those situations. Maybe a day later, but in some roundabout way, and I wish I never did. I should have just stuck it out.
You're a noble knight.
I should have just got the concept that when you're a kid, that the whole class isn't going to be able to go swimming because you lied or something about something because you're not telling about the time.
See, you get the collective collegial spirit, and that National Party caucus doesn't have a lot of it either. Yeah. There's not a whole strong idea of what are we going
to
do.
Let's get Joe Guy to play the part of the Right Honourable Jerry Brownlee.
Yeah. Go through this whole letter?
Well, I mean, David, you know, maybe which I'm gonna come around to there.
I write to express
to Mr. Speaker. All right, let's bang through it. Go.
I write to express the National Party's serious concerns about your chairing of the House and your role in negative stories about the National Party in the media. On 9 May, you ruled during question time that a National Party MP had made a sexist remark about the Prime Minister. You did not confirm what was said, but added that you would review the tape. Then, on 15 May, News Hub reported that a male National MP had called the Prime Minister a, quote, stupid little girl. The source behind the specific claim was anonymous. As part of the story, a number of Nationals' male MPs were asked whether they had called out the remark, and all confirmed they had not. All have also said they did not hear it. I would note that international media then also reported on the story. Today, you have confirmed to media that it was you who heard those specific words, and while you could not confirm it upon reviewing the tape, you stood by the fact the remark was made.
Blarney Laurel. Yanni Laurel.
let's not do that. Keep going.
Well, I mean, the role of the Speaker is promoting stories about events which cannot be verified, reflect badly on the opposition's unacceptable. Top of this, we've also repeatedly made our concerns known about the way you're running question time. You're arbitrary taking the questions from the opposition and disruption to proceedings are seriously limiting our ability to do our job, holding the government to account. In the past few weeks, you've also called an MP naughty child and allowed a National MP to be called a fool without intervening. And then it gets
to
the
now.
If the rule's not clear and the ruling's not consistent, we cannot effectively do our job. As a result of confidence in you as a Speaker, has been significantly shaken. This is an unacceptable position for you to be in. We expect the full explanation from you about your role, this is the Bill I Live, and pushing the story into the media before the House resumes at 2 p.m. tomorrow. It doesn't start till fucking 2 o'clock.
Or else.
Jesus.
Look, hey.
Swan in there whenever you like. 2 o'clock for a start. But anyway, yeah, so these...
This is the kind of a grand sweeping up proposition he will make. You're impeding our capacity to do our job. Bullshit! You know, whether or not they're able to ask a certain snarky question at a certain point, or maybe an incisive one, although that would be a first in this term, they still have many, many platforms in which to be a productive opposition. It's not entirely determined by what the Speaker may or may not permit them to do in the House. And that's the kind of grandiose statement he's given to making. Now, I know it's theatre, but I think people would probably warm to an opposition that was much more constructive and found some substantive objections and rode them hard instead of this kind of petulance.
David, what else has captured your interest? Are you interested in the cows? Is it's going to go the way we all think it's going to? It's going to be a massive, great big problem for everyone.
I'm a farm boy.
I could see that.
It's the way I move. Or was it the hay I'm chewing?
No, I meant that you're on salt of the earth. Is what I meant.
I boy, I feel for anybody who's potentially going to have to cull a large proportion of their herd. That's just
any BFM listeners out terrible. There looking at a herd cull.
Let's hear.
We'd love to hear from you.
What you've got, though, is a situation now where they're now in the same condition that many dairy farmers in other economies are, and that is you've got that disease and you just have to work with it. It doesn't actually mean that the whole herds are going to have to be wiped out necessarily, but it ain't good.
Talking to the Prime Minister yesterday about it, the fact that we're one of only two countries in the world that doesn't have it means we're just pushing our luck, aren't we?
I kind of wonder about how we try to be an island fortress against all diseases when we also have so, how many millions of visitors coming in and out of here every year.
Yeah, that's what I'm terrified that we rely on our industry.
Way too much.
Way too much like that. And finally, though, it's, let's do a good Labour Party glad hand, shall we? That trade thing. That trip to Europe wasn't just a photo op in the end, was it?
Yep.
And How about that? Is that going to be?
And as a bonus, it's nice to see the...
Small businesses in New Zealand must be stoked. Imagine having to bend over and tell, I actually don't mind her now.
Some of the Brexiters getting all indignant that we're siding with those, with the French surrender monkeys. That's an added bonus.
I guess fair enough, because you guys Brexited. Once you've tidied up where you're Brexiting everywhere, then maybe we'll come back and play. Hey, David, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Mike.
We've just chewed right into that whole half hour, haven't we? Sorry about that. But thanks very much for coming in. I realised that you were feeling a little bit under par.
Better buy the coffee by the
minute.
Tell you
what, one good Fuller's Ferry ride and you'll be sweet ass.
Just heard a bit of political commentary.